Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And it is Mission Sunday, and I'm glad that we have a missions Jesus, because Jesus died for all, not just for the American, not just for the Chinese, but all races of all peoples of all times. Wonderful Savior. The last few weeks we've preached to you about the present Jesus, one sermon, the praying Jesus. Last time I preached, the powerful Jesus, but I want to talk to you about the reaching Jesus today, the Jesus that reaches out to everybody. Praise God. And so let's notice Luke chapter 4, verse 14 we'll begin with. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16, then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised or oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that you'd open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. Let the word of God change us and minister to us. Anoint your servant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The reaching Jesus. Because Jesus reached down to us. Old song, when he reached down his hand for me. I was lost and undone without God and without a son, but he reached it way down to me. He did when he saved me. Praise the Lord. And the story is told, and a true story, I believe, that a young boy was on the beaches in the country of Australia, and there were scores that happened every day. Scores of starfish were on all the borders or on the sandy shores of the ocean. And they would stay there, and they would eventually die if they couldn't return to water. And so a young boy was walking down. He was picking up starfish and throwing them back into the ocean where they would survive. And an older man, kind of like me, except probably a little older, and he said, "Son, there's miles of beach here, and there's multitudes of these starfish. Do you really think you can make a difference?" The young boy picked up another starfish and cast it back into the ocean. He said, "It'll make a difference for this one." And so that's what Jesus did for us. He said, "I can make a difference for this one," and he can make a difference for everybody. And Jesus reaches out to all of us. And then as he was in the synagogue there, he selects a passage announcing the object of his whole mission. And he goes to the book of Isaiah. And therefore, he reads a passage out of that book, and it's quoted in the New Testament here by Jesus himself. But he selects this passage because it testified of his whole mission, and that would be to save the lost, to reach people with the gospel, the good news that he would die and be resurrected, and that all people could be saved, anybody could be saved through him. Amen. But we look at our country today and say, well, this country's heard the gospel, and it has. There's been more gospel preached in the United States probably than any other country in the world. But yet, we do see a society here, and now missionaries or people in other countries, churches, are sending missionaries to the United States because we live in a nation that's no longer what we'd call a Christian nation. I wish it was. Much of it is, but still much of it isn't. But have you ever seen such a society as ours today with such a negative outlook in a prosperous time? You know, it's one thing to complain when you really got it hard. It's another thing to complain just to hunt something to complain about. And there's people that do that. We've probably all been guilty of that. But in a prosperous time in our country, but there's such an absence for people to know that they need divine help. And we've got a very warped moral code in our country. But we desperately need Jesus to reach us. He's a reaching Jesus. He can reach anybody, anywhere. You look at some of the people he saved in the New Testament. I will tell you what, he went to the very depth of people who were covered in sin and saved them from eternal destruction. Because God cares. There is nobody that's impossible to reach. The only people that make it impossible are the people that reject what he did for them on the cross. And so God can do no greater than what he's done, that is, sacrificing his own son for our sins. But Jesus carries out his mission there. He announces what his mission is. And first, the reaching Jesus would reach the poor with the gospel. And this is talking about people that are poor financially, and there's some people that are rich spiritually, or rich financially, but are poor spiritually. So we can relate it to both there. But Jesus saw a people who were spiritually poor. And as he came to this world, he saw a very religious people, a people who wanted to worship something, and people who called various things God, as they do today. A religious people that were bound by endless traditions written down by scribes and Pharisees. And so, it was rich spiritually, or rich maybe materially, but they were poor spiritually. And you know, the church world sometimes in America here is spiritually poor. And there's some churches that have a nice building, and we have a nice one here, so yes, I'm preaching it myself. Good facilities. But they don't want anything said in their church for fear they might offend somebody. Let me tell you something, friend. People get offended. You and I do. Everybody gets offended. I would rather be offended I'm not offended by the gospel. But there's people that are offended, scared to death that when in church service somebody's going to lift their hands and praise the Lord, or scared to death somebody's going to speak in tongues, or scared to death somebody's going to openly worship God. You know, my Bible tells me, Psalms 47:1, clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We got reason to praise God. It doesn't mean that we're more spiritual if we're noisy, but it doesn't mean that God is nervous and afraid to hear people praise him. Hallelujah. And so, the church that doesn't worship is spiritually poor. But let's look at poor people today. If good news could be purchased by man, then Jesus would have sought rich and mighty and powerful people. But the gospel pours contempt on all human greatness and seeks God. Poor here means one who has no certainty of an eternal future with God. That's a poor person. A poor person is one who has no atonement for sins and can dread only to face God. And it would be a horrifying thing to think of facing God without atonement for our sins, without the blood of Jesus cleansing us. A poor person is one who has no knowledge of God's way, of God's love, or of heavenly hope, of earthly or eternal relationship with the Creator. And God has made all of this possible. For you and I but are a speck of dust in God's eternity and things we know and do not know about that he's created in eternity past. But yet God chose to reach down to me and to you. Amen. You say, well, you're making us feel insignificant. No, God makes you significant because he wanted to make a way of atonement for you and I. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen, to reach the poor with the gospel. And rich people sometimes commit suicide because their riches cannot buy them peace, it cannot buy them love, and it cannot buy them hope or a future with such. Had a man tell me one time he believed that one day they would invent a serum, that if they shot you with a serum, you'd live to be several hundred years old. I don't think Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob had that serum, but they still lived till several hundred years. Methuselah sure didn't have it because he was 969 when he died. But you know, you cannot purchase peace, love, and eternal life or a future with God that's full of a life without sickness, sorrow, death, or pain. But God offers that freely. Amen. It cannot be earned. But without the love of God, without hope, without any future, but headed for eternal darkness and separation from God, people are spiritually poor that are that way. However, Jesus came to bring good news. Amen. It was good news for when God told, the Spirit of God spoke to Philip and said, go down to Ethiopia. Go down to the Gaza Strip. Amen. It's not a place that many people want to go today. But he went there and he found an Ethiopian eunuch reading out of the prophet. He'd come up to Jerusalem to worship and he didn't know God, didn't know Christ. But he is reading out of the book of Isaiah and chapter 53. They didn't have chapters and verses then. But anyway, he was reading that. And Philip comes along and joins him in his chariot and says, and the eunuch says, is this man talking about himself or some other man? And the Bible says that Philip right there preached Jesus to him. They came to water and says, what does hinder me from being baptized? He said, nothing if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was baptized. Amen. Symbolic of burying his old life of sin and coming up a new person to follow Christ from that point on. That's what God can do. He was poor until he met the true gospel of Christ. Amen. And so, God can do anything. Praise the Lord. And you say, was it really worth it for him to go down to that eunuch, one man, when he could have preached 1,000 somewhere else? No, but I believe that God throughout the lifeline, if you'll pardon me here, let's just portray this as a starfish. It's not, it's Lowe's credit card. But the Ethiopian unit, it'll make a difference for that one. It made a difference for that one. He'll make a difference for you. Praise God. And so Jesus preached the gospel to the poor. Number two, he reached the brokenhearted. That involves a lot of people today. Today, people are brokenhearted over lost children, over lost family, relatives and friends, co-workers, people that are not ready to meet God, who could meet him instantly, any moment. We do not have the promise of the next breath or the next heartbeat. We could be gone in a second's time. Somebody today will be gone in a second's time. It will happen somewhere to somebody. You say, well, that's them over there. No, it could be me. It could be you. I want to know that I'm ready to meet God. And so Jesus reached out to the brokenhearted. And people today are brokenhearted over many things. We could name things for the rest of the preaching time here over things that people are brokenhearted over. But how desperately people need the healer in their lives. How they need the reaching Jesus to reach to their broken heart. And we're told a story here in the scripture. One resurrection that Jesus did. And he will do a massive resurrection one day. But while he was in his earthly ministry here, he met a woman there who was in a funeral procession because her son had died. And she was sorrowful. She was a broken heart because back then there was no Social Security. There were no freebies. Amen. But there was always people that would help some way or another. But they had to rely if they had no relative or friend or son to work and help make them a living. If they were elderly, they had no one to provide for them whatsoever. They were at the mercy of God for people just giving them something. And Jesus walked by this sorrowful woman, this funeral procession, and he interrupted it and said, wait just a minute, you know, this procession is not going to make it to the cemetery. And there he went in and spoke to the young man and healed him. He rose up from the dead. And he presented him to his mother. I want to tell you, Jesus can heal the brokenhearted. And he did there. Because you see, it takes Christ, the master carpenter, to rebuild people's life and to fix and to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted. And how many broken hearts have been mended by the master carpenter, which is Jesus? I want to tell you, he came today to bind up the brokenhearted. You may be brokenhearted over something that nobody else knows about. And it may not be important that anybody else knows about it. But you know about it, and I want to tell you, God knows about it. He can heal the broken heart today, whatever it may be, whatever the cause is. He's the healer. And Jesus will reach to the brokenhearted. Not only that, but Jesus reached the captives. People controlled by evil. And there are people today that are bound and captives to things that they cannot let go of and cannot be free of by themselves because it's too difficult and it takes too much power to set them free. We have in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark called the demoniac of Gadara. There's a man who was in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. He was demon-possessed. His name, the name of the demons, was Legion because it meant many. Many demons he was possessed with. He couldn't be free. Always crying, cutting himself with stones. He was a nuisance to the people around. Nobody wanted to see him. Nobody would take him in. They tried to bind him with chains that had been plucked apart and plucked asunder because demonic spirits are more powerful than humanity. Not more powerful than God, but just humans. And so, he was captive. He was controlled by demonic forces. Man, and he couldn't, no way to get free. He might have gone to AA, but they couldn't help him either. He might have tried all the behavioral sciences, but they couldn't explain it away. He might have had panic attacks and people that deal with that. But you see, he was bound. He could not be free. It took something more to reach him than mankind could produce. It took God to reach him. And Jesus prayed over him. I mean, didn't pray over him. He rebuked the demonic spirits and cast him out. And that he went on his way rejoicing. As a matter of fact, he wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to go back. You tell all people in the area of Decapolis, which means 10 cities, all that God has done for you. And he began to proclaim. He was clothed and in his right mind and proclaiming the gospel of Christ. That's what God can do. That's how God can heal and deliver the captives. A man we haven't had in church with us in a long time. He lives somewhere else now, but he's come here. He's shared several times. It's been a long time. And Philip Huggins, I don't know if anybody remembers Philip Huggins coming and preaching here. A few of you do. A few of you younger people do. Anyway, I also remember. Anyway, he was in prison, and he had been in and out of prison a lot, and he hated people, hated everyone, even hated himself. It's pretty bad shape. And the guards did not like to come around his prison cell because he would cuss them out every time they'd come by. And he hated the guards, and they all knew it, and they didn't want to go by there. They just did the very minimal thing for him, took him his food, and that's it. Because they'd get cussed out and called all kinds of filthy names every time they went by his cell. He's in solitary confinement because of his behavior. But his mother was allowed to bring him a Bible one day. And so he began to read the Bible. And as he began to read, he just kept reading. And his behavior began to settle down a little bit. And finally, he read enough to where he knew that he needed to ask God to forgive him of his sins and deliver him and set him free. And right there in his jail cell, he knelt and asked God's forgiveness of his sins, all the filthy things he had said and done and thought and all the mean things he had said to the guards and people that had tried to help him. And there he asks for forgiveness, receive God's forgiveness, not only forgiveness, but deliverance from the angry, vile man that he was. Knew Jesus as his Savior. He immediately changed. He no longer cursed and cussed the guards that came by. No longer mean and belligerent, but talked sensibly to people. Even the prison guards were amazed at such changed. Such change, saying this could not be the same man that used to cuss us, that used to call us all kinds of names, that hated to see us. His mind was changed because of the Word of God. Not only his mind, his whole being was transformed. Because you see, Jesus came to release the captive. It was a number of times, sometime after that, even on good behavior, he was released from prison. I want to tell you, pastors a church today and sees people saved. transformed by the power of God. There's nobody that God can't reach, nobody that Jesus can't reach. Jesus reaches captives and sets them free. No matter what problem people have or you may have here today, I want to tell you it's not too big or too hard for a holy God that we serve. He's powerful, He's mighty, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. That pretty much includes everything. God can do it. He can reach you wherever you are. That may not describe you. You say, well, I'm not a prisoner. I've never done anything all that bad, and I'm not. But even if it's what you would consider a small thing that you're captive to, amen. You might be a captive of looking at things you shouldn't look at, and you feel convicted about it, but you just don't stop. Or drinking what you shouldn't drink, and you're convicted of it, but you just don't quit because you feel like you can't quit. I want to tell you, God can set the captives free. Hallelujah. Jesus came to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Amen. And Jesus lived in a society where there were blind people. There are blind people today. But there are people in Jesus' day that were spiritually blind as well. And it was good news when Jesus reached out to a blind man named Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, sat by the roadside begging, because if you were in that shape there, still, same issue. There was no Social Security. There was no way to get government aid or whatever. They sat by the roadside begging, and they were at the mercy of people who would be kind enough to put money in their cup or to provide something so they could eat that day. And here, blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the side of the road, expecting possibly to make enough that day to eat that day. And then he heard that Jesus had come by. No doubt he had heard about Jesus and heard about the miracles. And when he caught on to him that this is the miracle worker coming by, he began to cry out, Jesus, have mercy, Son of David, have mercy. You at least recognize Jesus as Messiah. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people nearby said, just be quiet, just be quiet. The master's busy. Jesus is busy. Didn't have time for you. Just a blind beggar on the side of the road. The Bible says he cried out all the more, a great deal, King James says. That means he didn't quit. When he was told to quit, I just made him cry out louder. Jesus, I got to have you. And Jesus is passing your way. My friend, nothing can stop us. Amen. You got to have Jesus. He had to have Jesus. This was his only chance, his only opportunity. If Jesus couldn't take care of this, it couldn't be taken care of. But he cried all the more, and Jesus stopped and commanded that the blind man be brought to him. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might see. And the blind man saw both naturally and spiritually. And Jesus healed him. He could see. For his first time, the first person he saw was Jesus. And the Bible says he followed Jesus immediately. Praise God. It's hard not to put a spiritual thing on that too. Followed Jesus spiritually as well as physically. Let me tell this one story here. Former district superintendent Gene Jackson, many years ago, and he had a little daughter that was born blind, and she couldn't see. And Brother Jackson, I heard him preach about it. He said, "I sought in my heart, God, have I sinned somewhere? Is there something I've done that caused my daughter to be blind when she was born?" He said, and some of the faith people, if you could call them that, false faith people, come around and said, you got sin in your heart. You got sin in your life. It's the reason she was born blind. Is that a Christian thing to do? No, it's a stupid thing to do. Man, no. You got something wrong in your life. It's because of you. But this was nothing to this. After a while, he realized that God allowed this for whatever reason. And as his daughter grew older, he talked to her about it and said, I forget what her name was, said, I'm sorry you were born this way. I'm sorry you're blind. She came into a saving relationship with Christ. She's blind. And then she got tired of hearing her dad talk about it one day, and she said, Father, I said, Daddy, the first thing I'll ever see is Jesus. And I'm not discouraged. I'm not sad, because I will see him first. That's the first person I'll ever see. Jesus came to give recovery of sight to the blind. He did physically for many people. And he gave spiritual sight to people who were willing to listen to him and to hear his word. Amen. He's still doing that today. There's people today that are blind to their need for God. God's able to open their eyes. The recovering of sight to the blind and has set at liberty those who are bruised. Last of all, didn't think I'd get through, but I am almost, nearly. In a minute. Okay, you got it. Jesus reached the captive with liberty, with freedom. Today, many are oppressed by evil all around. People are full of worry, they're full of fear, they're full of loneliness, they're full of all kinds of things that the emotions bring. If you simply focus on emotions, and it's wrong to just focus on emotions because they're fickle. Is that a good word? Anyway, they come and go. Worry, fear, doubt, loneliness will not do you any good. They will simply make you worry more, fear more, and be more lonely. You need Jesus. He come to bring liberty to the captives, freedom. Amen. In conclusion today, I will say he can make a difference for you. He can reach you where you are. You're not out of his reach. You're not somewhere out there that this has never happened to anybody else. He's been healing people the same things over and over again, and he can do it today. He can reach you wherever you are. He cares about you today. And he can reach you. He can reach this world. It's not that everybody else needs it besides me. We all need to be reached by God, by Christ. Amen.